Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
It is July 3rd. We are on page 580. And we're up to Parakhes, chapter 8. Here the Torah is now going to tell us the story of the Mishkan and the Kohanim being inaugurated or initiated. This was already told to us back in Parshas Tetzaveh, but in Parshas Tetzaveh it was the commandment to Moshe Rabbeinu about what should happen, and here is when it actually happens. So we end up with a double report about it, one the commandment and one the actual doing. The from here until the end of Parashas Tzav will detail what happened each day of the 7 days of the Miluim, the 7 days of the initiation of Aaron and his sons as Kohanim, and the Mishkan as well, and the Mizbeach. Each day was the same. It's going to be the same. We're going to get a description of one day, and then they're going to do the same thing over and over again for 7 days straight. These 7 days are the last 7 days of the month of Adar, the first year that they went out of Egypt. So we're nearly a year after leaving Egypt. They left on the 15th of Nisan. They came to Har Sinai on the first day of Sivan. They're still at Har Sinai. We know that they went through the Aseres Hadibros, then they went through the Egel Hazav, the golden calf, and then they went through the getting forgiveness and Yom Kippur. Then Moshe came down and they built the Mishkan, and now we have the inauguration of the Mishkan. It's the last 7 days of Adar, and then it will culminate with the 8th day of the Miluim, which will be the first day of Nisan. Rosh Chodesh Nisan will actually be the first day of the Mishkan, and that will be the next parsha called Shmini, the 8th, which begins Vayihi Bayom HaShmini, was on the 8th day. So here we're going to describe the 7 days prior to that 8th day, which that 8th day being Rosh Chodesh Nisan.
What was the month before Nisan?
Adar.
Thank you. All right, I knew that.
Okay. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lema, Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Kaches Aaron v'esbonav, take Aaron and his sons, Ito with him. Ve'is ha-bigodim, and the clothing, which was of course constructed. Ve'is shemen ha-mishcha, and the anointing oil. Ve'is parachatos, and the bull for a sin offering, which was described in Parashas Tetzaveh. Ve'is shnei ha-elim, and the two rams. One of the rams will be an ola, a burnt offering. The other ram will be called the Karban Miluim, but it is a form of a shlamim. It's a form of a peace offering. Ve'es sal hamatzos, and the basket of matzos, which will be brought along with the Miluim ram, with the shlamim, as we'll see. Ve'es kol ha'ido ha'kel, and the entire congregation should be gathered, El Pesach or El Moed, to the entrance of the Mishkan. Everybody should be there at the entrance of the Mishkan. Now when it says, Kach, take Aaron, so what does it mean to take Aaron? Does it mean Moshe Rabbeinu should pick him up?
Pick him with words, no?
Okay, so very often, Kach means Kachenu Bidvarim. Take him with words, which means tell him how special it is to have this privilege. Make him excited about this job, because the job is not an easy one, and it has its dangers, as we're going to find in Parashat Shmini. As we know, Aaron is going to lose 2 sons, so it is not like it is a simple matter or an easy matter, but it is a special job nonetheless, and you should make sure to emphasize that to Aaron. Vayas Moshe kasher tziva Hashem oso. Moshe did as Hashem commanded him. Vati kohel ha'edo el pesach ha'amoy. The congregation gathered to the entrance of the Olamoid of the Mishkan. the Gemara tells us, I'll read you the Rashi, Ze'echa mina makomos shehechzik mu'atis hameruba. This is one of those places that a small area was able to hold a large amount of people. Really, the entrance of the Mishkan, that area in front of the entrance of the Mishkan, was too small for the couple of million Jews to fit in that area. Nonetheless, they did fit. Now, this should not shock us, as we already know that... Okay, what do we know about the Beis HaMikdash? What didn't fit?
When they all lay down.
That's true. And the people when they bowed down didn't fit. That is true. And they fit anyway, even though they shouldn't have fit. Omdim tzfufin umishtachavim revachim. They stood tzfufin, which means crammed together. Umishtachavim revachim. When they bowed, there was plenty of room. What else did not fit?
The ark
did not fit. So we're already used to that happening with the Mishkan. Nonetheless, it's still different when it happens to the Aron in the Kodesh HaKadoshim or to the people on Yom Kippur. And here, this is neither Yom Kippur nor the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and they all fit. But it is a very special time. It is the one and only inauguration of the Mishkan. There is not going to be any other Mishkan that's going to be inaugurated in for all time. And so this is a special event. Vayomer Moshe el Ha'eda, Moshe said to the congregation, Ze hadavar shetziva Hashem la'asos, this is the thing that Hashem commanded to do. Now, Moshe needs to give that preamble because Moshe over here is going to inaugurate his own brother as the Kohen Gadol and his nephews as the Kohanim. It certainly could appear like Moshe was favoring his own family. And so Moshe has to make it clear that this is not for my kavod nor for the kavod of Aaron, but or for the kavod of my family. Rather, this is what Hashem said to do. Now, we're familiar with the phrase, Ko Amar Hashem, so said Hashem. Ko Amar Hashem, which is obviously quoting Hashem, is a phrase that you find several Nevi'im using that phrase. Moshe uses it. Others use it as well. Ko Amar Hashem, so says Hashem. But Zeh HaDavar, this is the thing that Hashem commanded, that you only find Moshe Rabbeinu using that phrase. Zeh HaDavar, this is the thing. That's more powerful than Ko Amar Hashem or Ne'um Hashem. Ne'um Hashem also means Hashem said. That's just quoting Hashem. But Zeh HaDavar is, this is the thing, it connotes a greater degree of perfection, of being exact. And so only Moshe Rabbeinu uses that phrase. So he uses it here because here we need to know that this whole thing of Aaron being the one who is going to be the Kohen Gadol comes directly from Hashem. Pasuk Vav, Vayakrev Moshe es Aaron v'esponav. Moshe brought Aaron and his sons close. Vayurchatz osam b'moyim, and he bathed them in water, which means he had them put them in the mikvah. Moshe is acting as the one in charge, even though what he's doing is he's initiating or inaugurating Aaron to be the one in charge. So that's a tricky position to be in. Whereas after this whole process is over, Moshe is no longer in charge of the Mishkan. Aaron's in charge of the Mishkan. But Moshe is, of course, the leader. He's in charge of everybody. And here, he has to play the role of the one who's going to initiate Aaron, but then step out, and Aaron will be the one in charge. A very similar thing happens in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, when Shmuel anoints the first king, Shaul, and then the second king, David. Shmuel there too is anointing first Shaul, then David to be in charge, which means that they're the king and not Shmuel. But Shmuel is the one who is given the job of making them into a king. So it's a tricky position to be in. It's one thing when you are the boss and you take one of your employees and you promote them to a position of administration. Okay, so you're still the boss, and you've moved them up. Or let's say you're retiring, and you appoint someone to be the new CEO. Okay, fine. So then you're retiring, they're taking your place. That also makes sense. Here it's different. This is not a position Moshe ever held. He was never the Kohen Gadol. But he is in charge of the Jewish people, but he's never the Kohen Gadol. And in this process, he's going to put Aaron into being Kohen Gadol, and that in the role of Kohen Gadol, Aaron is greater than Moshe. It's his Mishkan, not Moshe's anymore. And similar to Shmuel when he anoints the kings, Shmuel was never the king. He was in charge, but he wasn't the king. And when he makes for Shaul and David king, they are the kings, not him. So it's an interesting kind of straddling the fence of sort of being in the position to make someone into that position, but then that's it. That's all. Moshe is only acting as the Kohen Gadol in as much as making Aaron Kohen Gadol. That's it. And then Moshe's out.
The engineer of the project.
What's that?
Like the engineer of the project. You create the project and get out because it belongs to someone else to do.
Yeah, it's something like that. Something like that.
The interim principal. Do we ever... What? I said it's the interim principal.
We have a term for this in English, you know, the kingmaker.
Yeah, I know, right, the kingmaker.
But my question is... Do we ever think of Moshe, since he set up the whole thing and he did all this, you know, making everything holy and so on? Do we ever look at it as though, for this period of inauguration time, he was the Kohen Gadol?
Yeah. He's going to serve in a chaluk lavan, in one white tunic. He does not wear the clothing of the Kohen Gadol, nor does he even wear the clothing of the regular Kohanim, but he wears a white tunic. That's his garment to serve. And he's going to sort of act like the Kohen Gadol for these 7 days. So he brings Aaron and his sons close and he puts them in the mikvah. Zion 7. Vayitein alav es hakutonis. He put on Aaron the tunic. Vayachgor oso ba'avnet. And then he belted him with the belt. Vayalbeish oso es hami'il. And then he dressed him in the jacket. Vayitein alav es ha'ifod, and then he put the apron over that. Vayachgor oso b'cheshev ha'ifod, and he belted him with the belt of the apron. Vayepod lo bo, and he literally means he aproned him in it.
He adorned him.
Okay, he adorned him in it. Okay. Vayasem alav es ha'choshen, he put on him the breastplate, the choshen. Vayitein el ha'choshen es ha'urim ves ha'tumim, then he placed into the choshen the urim and the Tumim, which means that's the parchment that has Hashem's name, which he put into the fold of the Choshen. Vayasem es hamitznefes al rosho, he placed the hat on his head, on Aaron's head. Vayasem al hamitznefes el mul panav, and he put on the hat towards Aaron's face, meaning on his forehead, es tzitz hazahav nezer hakodesh, the headband, the golden headband, the sanctified golden headband, Kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe, as Hashem had commanded Moshe. So Aaron is now dressed to serve. Vayikach Moshe es shemen ha-mishcha, Moshe took the anointing oil, vayimshach es ha-mishkan ves kol asher bo, first he anointed the mishkan and everything in it, vayikadesh osam, and he sanctified them. Vayaz mimenu ala mizbeach sheve peomim, and then he poured or sprinkled from that anointing oil on the altar 7 times. Vayimshach es hamizbeach ves kol kelav, and he anointed the altar and all of its utensils, ves hakior ves kano, and the sink and its base, lekadosham, to sanctify them. Vayitzok mishemen hamishcha arosh aron, and then he poured from the anointing oil on the head of Aaron, and he anointed him to make him sanctified. So notice the order of how this goes. First, Moshe prepares Aaron completely. he gets him, puts him in the mikvah, and dresses him completely for the part. Then he takes the anointing oil, but first he anoints the Mishkan and the Mizbeach, then he anoints Aaron. So,
you think it'd be the other way around?
What do you mean? Go ahead.
Because, you know, you already adorned him. It's a very regal procedure. Like when you adorn a king, you know, you dress the king slowly with all that. You think you would adorn Aaron first and later the Mishkan and the vessel.
Okay, good. Yeah. So it's an interesting thing that first he gets Aaron all ready, so he's all ready to go. But the oil goes first on the Mishkan and then goes on Aaron. What do you want to say?
I think it makes sense because the Mishkan is a permanent thing. Humanity is going to change or something.
Okay, good.
I think it makes sense because just as Bezalel made the Mishkan before the utensils, he did that in order to house the utensils. They had to have a place and a house. Mm-hmm. So before Aaron ever entered the Mishkan, it had to be Kadosh for him. It had to be sanctified. Mm-hmm. If he were a sanctified person and he walked into this place which was not sanctified, you know, maybe that would not be so good. He was still standing outside the Mishkan when this was happening.
Yes, he was. That's true.
So it's as if he also were a koli, a utensil for the Mishkan. And the whole setting was being prepared so that when he was Kadosh and he walked into it, the whole thing was Kadosh.
Good. Very good. I would add to that the Aaron's sanctity is for the purpose of serving in the Mishkan. And that's why he's a Kohen. It's true we give Truma to a Kohen, you do Pidyon HaBen with a Kohen. There are other functions that a Kohen has, but the Kohen is the Kohen to serve in the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash. That's the purpose of being a Kohen. So that Aaron is fully ready, he's ready to do the job, and Moshe does not pour the oil on the Mishkan yet until he has a Kohen who is ready to step in and do the work. But the Mishkan gets the oil first, because the Mishkan has to be a Mishkan in order to justify a need for a Kohen. If there's no Mishkan, there's no purpose in having a Kohen. So first the Mishkan gets anointed, then Aaron gets anointed. Now his sons are just there. They went to the mikvah with their father, but now they're just waiting. So now the pasuk tells us Yud Gimel 13, Vayakrev Moshe es bnei Aharon. Moshe brought the sons of Aaron close. Vayabishem kutanos, and he dressed them in their tunics. Vayakoro samavnit, and then he belted them with their belt. Vayachavosh lahem mikbaos, and he put their hats on their heads. Kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe, as Hashem had commanded Moshe. So now the sons are ready to go as well. Now the sons are ready to go. They don't get the oil. Right, only the Kohen Gadol gets the oil, and they're ready to go. Now let me just make a comment about the oil for just a moment before going further over here, because now we're going to get to the karbanos. The anointing oil is used, as you see here, to initiate the Mishkan. Okay? And it's to anoint Aaron as the Kohen Gadol, the very first Kohen Gadol. The anointing oil is also used to crown kings. But it's just as with Aaron, it's only to start off a line. Meaning David had the anointing oil put on him because he was beginning a new line. Shaul had anointing oil put on him because he was beginning a new line. After the Kohen Gadol, the first Kohen Gadol gets oil, or the first king in the line gets oil, then as the Rambam writes, the anointing oil is not used for subsequent kings or Kohanim Gedolim unless there is a dispute over the succession and we need to make it clear who the real king is or who the real Kohen Gadol is. Then you use the anointing oil to make it clear who it is.
Who makes that decision?
That's a good question.
No.
That's a good question. The truth is, with the kings, that's the case. With the Kohen Gadol, I'm trying to remember now, because the Kohen Gadol, once the oil was hidden away, you know, I could be making a mistake about the Kohen Gadol. It could be the Kohen Gadol they did anyway. There's another way to initiate a Kohen Gadol besides the oil, and that is for him to put on the clothing of the Kohen Gadol.
Kohen Gadol.
because since there's a distinction between the Kohen Gadol's clothing and the regular Kohen's clothing, so when a regular Kohen becomes Kohen Gadol, he puts on the clothing, he is now the new Kohen Gadol.
But if the clothing that exists doesn't fit him?
No, they make new ones for him.
Okay, yeah, yeah, so it's not that he puts on the
Right, but no one else can wear those clothing. Even new ones made to that person's size, no one else can wear those that clothing. So ironically, even though David had the anointing oil put on him, Shlomo HaMelech, who is the second king in the Davidic line, also gets the anointing oil because there was a dispute over the succession, because Adoniyahu, who tried to usurp the throne. So therefore, he needed to have the anointing oil. But that's not necessary for every king. The Kohen Gadol, now I'm second-guessing myself, so we're going to leave it at that.
What kind of oil? Olive oil?
Yeah. Well, it's what we had in Parshas Kisisa. We had the formula for the oil. Yeah, you're not allowed to make it. Okay. It's an aveira for someone else to make the oil. Although I don't know that we know all the ingredients today. They're in the Chumash, but I don't know if we know the exact translation of each of the ingredients. Now we move to the karbanos. So there are three karbanos on these 7 days, three each day of the 7 days. There will be more on the eighth day, but on the 7 days of the miluim, there are three karbanos. There is one bull that is a chatas, a sin offering. Then there are two rams, one as a burnt offering, an ola, and one as a form of a shlamim, of a peace offering. Vayagesh eis parachatas, he brought close, Moshe, brought close the bull as a sin offering. Vayismoch Aaron uvanav esyedehem arosh parachatas. Aaron and his sons leaned their hands on the head of the bull of sin offering, which is what you're supposed to do with your own carbon. You're supposed to lean on it. That is that smicha that you're supposed to do. And this carbon was considered to be their carbon, the carbon of Aaron, the carbon of his sons. Vayishchat. So Moshe slaughtered it. Vayikach Moshe es hadam. Moshe took the blood. So you see Moshe is acting as a Kohen over here. Slaughtering can be done by anybody. It does not have to be a Kohen. But after that, all the blood work has to be done by the Kohen. Moshe here acts as the Kohen. Moshe took the blood, vayitena karnos hamizbeach saviv be'etzba'o, and he placed the blood on the four corners of the mizbeach with his finger, vayichateas hamizbeach, and he purified the altar, ve'ez hadam yatzach al yisod hamizbeach, and then the rest of the blood he poured onto the foundation of the mizbeach, vayichadashayu l'chaper olav, and he sanctified it to atone for the mizbeach. This is what made the Mizbeach into the Mizbeach, was this carbon, which is a sin offering because it is taking the Mizbeach and moving it from being mundane to being sanctified. And so it atones for whatever was mundane about this Mizbeach. So far, this Karban Chatas, the sin offering, is following the pattern of a regular sin offering. This is what you do with the Karban Chatas, other than the fact that you have a non-Kohen, Moshe Rabbeinu, who's the one who's processing it. But aside from that point, so far it follows the rules of a regular Chatas, which is that you slaughter it, catch the blood, take the blood, take it to the Mizbeach, then put it on the four corners of the Mizbeach with your finger. That's the way it's supposed to be. Then he does the next step with the chatas, which is also the normal thing to do. Vayikach es kol hachelev, and he took all the fats, asher al hakerev, that was on the stomach, innards, right? Ve'es yoseres ha-kaved, and this is what's attached to the liver. Ve'es shtei ha-klayos, and the two kidneys, ve'es chel behen, and their fats. Vayakter Moshe ha-mizbecha, and Moshe burned them on the altar. Again, that is what one is supposed to do. But now we have a deviation from a regular chatas. Ves hapor, ves oro, ves pisaro, ves pirsho, and the bull, and its hide, and its flesh, and all that comes from it. Saraf ba'ish, he burned in fire, michutz la'machane, outside the camp. Kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe, as Hashem had commanded Moshe. Now, what is normally supposed to happen with the rest of the carbon chatas? Let's say the flesh of the Karban Chatas. What is supposed to happen to that?
The Kohanim.
The Kohanim eat it. That's what's supposed to happen. Moshe Rabbeinu is not a Kohen. So even though he's kind of straddling the fence, and we'll see that he acts as a Kohen a little bit and doesn't act as a Kohen in other situations, in this particular situation, he does not act as a Kohen. So there's no one to eat it. Aaron and his sons are not yet Kohanim. Moshe is not a Kohen. No one can eat the meat of the Karban Chatas, of the sin offering. Therefore, everything is taken outside and burned, not in the Mishkan, because burning in the Mishkan would imply that that's what you're supposed to do with this karban, like an ola. An ola is burned in the Mishkan. That's what you're supposed to do with it. But this is really a deviation. This is as if it became pusel, as if it became nullified, as if it became no good. And what happens when a karban becomes no good? You take it out of the camp and you burn it outside the camp. So that's what happens over here to this karban chatas. All 7 days, that's what's going to happen to the karban chatas. Pasuk Yuches, verse 18. Vayakrev eis el ha'olah. So now they get to the first of the two rams. So they brought brought the ram of the ola. They brought the burnt offering ram. Vayismechu Aaron uvanav esedehem arosh ha'oil. Aaron and his sons lean their hands on the head of the ram.
Thank you.
Same thing as the karban chatas. Vayishchat, he slaughtered it, Moshe. Vayizrok Moshe es hadam al mizbeach saviv, and he threw the blood. He caught the blood, brought it to the mizbeach, and he threw it on the mizbeach all around, which again is the normal thing to do, which would be shtei matanos shehin arba, which is to throw the blood on the two opposite corners of the mizbeach, on the southwest corner and on the northeast corner, and you throw it in a way that the blood will splatter to the two sides of the mizbeach, and therefore it ends up being all around. All the sides get some blood on them.
Yeah. What is the symbolism of throwing the blood on the mizbeach? Well, you see this a lot.
Yeah, the blood on the mizbeach is the main part of any karban.
Right.
It's the blood going on the mizbeach. That's more important than anything else. That's more important than anything being burned. It's more important than anything getting eaten. The main thing is that the blood gets on the mizbeach.
Right.
That's the main point. The blood is considered to be the nefesh of the soul of the animal or of the person.
Right.
The Torah itself calls the blood the nefesh of the animal. When the Torah speaks about not eating blood, it says ki nefesh kol basar damohu, because the soul of each person is his blood. So it's considered to be the lifeblood. And taking that and throwing it on the altar is like giving the life of this item to the altar. That's the symbolism. And since the primary idea of a karban is that it's taking our place, so we are giving our life to the all to Hashem.
Right.
That's the primary symbolism.
Thank you.
So he slaughtered it and he throws the blood all around the altar. V'ashoil nitachlin sachav, and the ram, he cut it up into its proper parts. V'yakter Moshe es harosh, v'ashanesachim, v'ashapader, and Moshe burned the head and the parts and the neck. He burned the whole animal, which is again what you're supposed to do with a karban ola, with a burnt offering. And the innards and the feet he washed with water. And Moshe burned the entire ram on the altar. Ola hula reach nichach. It is an ola as a sweet smell. Ishehu la Hashem. It is a burnt offering for Hashem, kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe, as Hashem had commanded Moshe. So that's the second karban. You notice nothing has been eaten yet. Right? The chatas has a part that's supposed to get eaten, but not in this case, because there's nobody to eat it, and the ola is never supposed to get eaten. So far nothing has gotten eaten. I want to just make one point about this word re'ach nicho'ach. We probably mentioned this before, but just like make sure, just in case we forgot to talk about it. Re'ach nicho'ach, a sweet smell, means that as Chazal say in many places, it means that it's a nachas ruach before Hashem. It is a pleasant spirit before Hashem, whatever that means, that we listened to Him. We did what we're supposed to do. So it's called a reach nicholach. However, we do learn a practical point from this phrase, reach nicholach, how do they translate it?
Satisfying aroma.
We learn from here that the things that are supposed to get burned on the mizbeach, it's required that they give a satisfying aroma. Meat that has never been roasted, and then you take it and you put it in open fire, will give off a pungent smell. And most people do like that smell, the smell of roasting meat. And that's what, in this case, you're not going to eat it, it gets burned, but it's a pungent smell. Meat that has already been cooked and then is thrown into a fire, the smell will not be as pungent. It will not be as strong a smell. The word reach nicholach teaches us that this burning needs to be the first application of heat that the meat gets. It cannot be pre-cooked before or pre-singed prior to putting it on the mizbeach. It's got to get that full pungent smell in order for it to be a properly done carbon. This is why, as an aside, in a few weeks when we do our presentation of kashering, and we're going to do salting and we're going to do broiling, this is why the broiling presentation is going to be done in the meat kitchen. Because even though we're going to have our own cooking thing to use, but if it would be done in Heritage Hall or anywhere else, yeah, we're going to end up with a very pungent smell that will last for a while. So, therefore, it will be done in the meat. That part of it will be done in the meat kitchen. Okay. Now, what about the third carbon? Pasuk Chaf Beis, verse 22. Vayakrev es ha'ayal hasheni, and he brought the second ram, el hamiluim. So this is the Miluim ram, which they translate as the inauguration ram. Now, it's going to follow the pattern of a typical shlamim, a typical peace offering, with a few small differences. Vayismachu Aharon uvanav esyed ham arosh ha'oil. And Aaron and his sons lean their hands on the head of the ram, which is what they did with the other two karbanos as well. So that's so far so good. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam
she'hakol nehiyah
b'ro.
Amen.
Vayishchat. And Moshe shechted it. Same word we had for the other two. I want to call your attention to the trup, to the cantillation on the word vayishchat. It is a shalsheles. That's the real long up and down and up and down and up and down trup, which only appears four times in the Torah. Now, the other three, all of them connote the same idea, which is a significant pause. All the other three places where there is a shalsheles, we understand clearly what that significant pause is. So, for example, when Lot is trying to be taken out of Sodom, it says, Vayismama, he tarried. He was ready to leave, and then he tarried because he wanted to get his money. He wanted to bring his money with him. So, there's a shalsheles on that word. When Eliezer is about to daven to Hashem to give him a sign to find Rivka for Yitzchak, it says, Vayomar. And he said, because it's a significant pause, it's almost like a drum roll.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's meant to connote.
That's the way of looking at it, yeah.
Right. It's almost like a drum roll. Drum roll, please. Right. That's almost what's happening over here. So this shalsheles is meant to draw our attention to this shechita. This one, the other two, okay, they're important. This one, this is the drum roll. Because this is the carbon that is the miluim carbon. This is the inaugural carbon. So this is the one that really brings Aaron and his sons to being Kohanim and ultimately to take over. Now they're going to do it 7 days. This is not, it's not one time. Nevertheless, on each day, this was the main event. It was this Shechita, this Karban, this is the main event of the Miluim of the 7 days. Now the 8th day will be different. The 8th day has other things going on. But for these 7 days, this is the main Karban. Vayikach Moshe Midamo, Moshe took from its blood. And here we have an interesting deviation from a regular Shlamim. What does he do with the blood? Vayitein al tenuch ozen Aharon ayemanis. He put it on his right ear. Does it say lobe? It's not really the lobe.
Of Aaron's right ear.
The middle
part. Middle part. Yeah. It's the middle part of the ear. It's not the lobe. It's the middle part of the ear, of his right ear. Val bohen yado ayemanis. And on his right thumb. Val bohen ragla ayemanis. And his right big toe. Vayakreves b'nei Aaron. He brought the sons of Aaron close. Vayitain Moshe min hadam, and Moshe put from the blood al tenuch aznam ayemanis on the middle of their right ear. Val boen yadam ayemanis, and on their right thumb. Val boen raglam ayemanis, and on their right big right toe. Vayizrok Moshe es hadam al mizbeach saviv, and then Moshe threw the blood all around the Mizbeach. Now, a regular Shlamim, you're supposed to throw the blood around the Mizbeach. Again, two applications, which is really four. That the southwest corner, the northeast corner, the same as the Ola. That's what you're supposed to do. But prior to doing that, Moshe puts the blood on Aaron and on his sons. What does that tell you about Aaron and his sons?
They themselves are being consecrated.
Okay.
They are like the altar.
They're like the Mizbeach. They are being treated like the Mizbeach. Now, you're not going to throw blood on a person, right? So, but they are being treated like the Mizbeach. Blood is being applied to three specific places. The right always, in these sorts of things, always takes preference over the left. But three specific places of Aaron and his sons get blood placed on them, which means they are being treated like the altar. Now, why these three specific places? The middle of the ear, the thumb, and the big toe. Why these specific places?
You're asking?
Yes.
Maybe because we heard the Sarah said it was for the ear.
Mm-hmm. Good. It's hard to go past that, but good.
Wash their hands and feet. They wash their hands and feet before they...
They do wash their hands and feet. That's true.
Is it? There is an explanation here.
Yeah. Okay. What does it say? Let's give everybody a chance.
The ear symbolizes that the Kohanim should always listen to and obey God's commands. The hand is the organ that grasps things and that is active. So the blood upon the thumb symbolizes that the Kohanim should actively carry out His, meaning God's, will.
Good.
And the foot is the organ of movement. So the blood on the big toe symbolizes that the Kohanim should always move with alacrity to serve Hashem.
Very nice.
That was Avraham ben Harambam.
That's the Rambam's son. Okay. What did you want to say?
Pretty much that.
There's that, yeah, okay.
Of course.
Okay. The hands and feet are the extremities of a person. Mm-hmm. And an extremity, by definition, means that it is not the main part of the body. An extremity of anything is by definition not the main. The main part is the center, which for a body is the torso. That's the main part. Then you have extremities. Now, the extremities have functions. There's purpose. They are the things that make the body be able to function. The hands, the feet, that's how we get, like it says here, that's how we get around, that's how we are able to make things happen with our hands. The truth is, though, that the head is also sort of an extremity. But it's different than regular extremities because the head is really either more significant or just as significant as the torso, right? God forbid a person can survive without hands and feet. A person cannot survive without a torso, cannot survive without their head, right? So but it is also an extremity. It is something that is outside of the torso.
Which is outside of the torso? I'm sorry.
The head. Right? It's separate.
Your extremities know what to do because the thoughts all start in the head.
That's true. That's true. But here, each of the extremities, hands, feet, and head, mm-hmm. are being singled out. Now, on the head, it is the ear that is chosen. It could be because of the explanation that's given over here, and it could be because the ear juts out. Mm-hmm. I guess it could have been the nose.
Extremity.
It could have been, right? But it's something that also juts out. So it is therefore the all the things that are meant to make the body work. The torso doesn't really do anything. What I mean to say is, of course, it does something. The heart's beating and the lungs are breathing, but you can't
take action.
Right? There's no action that is taken with the torso. Mm-hmm. Right? But the hands, the feet, the head are where the actions are.
My nanny may be correct, but on the similar to it, someone who's tzaras comes back. Mm-hmm.
Yes. When we get to the discussion of tzaras, we will see that these same limbs are used. Yes, same thing.
You know, it just occurred to me that another interesting way to look at it is that these three parts distinguish man from animals. You know, we hear and we understand, which animals don't. We have hands that grasp and do things which animals don't, and we walk on 2 feet which animals don't.
Okay, interesting.
Just
yeah, good. That's good. Good. Know. No, that's right. The Gemara does sometimes refer to people as mahalchei shtayim, those who go on 2 feet, as opposed to mahalchei arba, those who go on 4 feet. Right. Good. Okay. So the blood is first placed on them, and then it is placed on the mizbeach. Pasuk Chaf Hei, verse 25. Vayikach es hachelev ves ha'alya. He took the fat and he took the tail. Ves kol hachelev asher al hakerev, and all the fat that was on the stomach innards. Ves yoseres hakaved, and the part of the fat that was on the liver. Ves shtei hakleyos, and the 2 kidneys. Ves chel behen, and their fats. So far so good. So far this is exactly like a regular shlamim. However, ves shok Hayamin, and the right back leg. Now we learned before, the right back leg is supposed to be given to the Kohen to eat. But there is no Kohen to eat. And therefore, it's going to get burned along with the fats that are normally burned. So this is a deviation from a regular shlamin. Now there's another part that usually goes to the Kohen, that is the chazeh, the chest. That is not listed here. That's for a reason, as we'll see in a moment. Umisal matzos asher lifnei Hashem, and from the basket of the matzos, of the loaves that were before Hashem, there were 30 loaves. There were 3 types of loaves, 10 of each. So there were 30 total. This is not like this is different than a regular shlamim, but you do find this, let's say, with a carbon toda. You do find loaves, and what you do with the loaves is going to be similar to a carbon toda. Well, we'll see what happens. Lakach chalas matzah achas. He took one loaf of a chalas matzah, that's one type, v'chalas lechem shemen achas, and one chalas lechem shemen, which is a second type, virakik echad, and one rakik. Those are the 3 types. The 3 types are the 2 baked ones, which are the matzos that are baked either as a flat cracker type thing, similar to ours. That's the rakik, and the chalas matzo, which is baked in a thicker way. And then the chalas lechem shemen is the one that is boiled and a lot of oil is placed on it constantly. So it's 3 different types of loaves. He took one of each. There were 10 of each. He took one of each. Vayasem ala chalavim al shokayamin. And he placed those three loaves on top of the fats and on top of the right back leg. Vayitenes hakol kapei Aaron. He placed them all on the palms of Aaron. Ve'al kapei vanav, and on the palms of his sons. Vayonef osam tnufa l'tnei Hashem. And he waved them as a waving in front of Hashem. Remember, we learned that the waving is done, that the owner of the carbon places his hands underneath the items that are going to get burned, and the Kohen puts his hands underneath the owner's hands. Here, Aaron and his sons are the owners, they're the Baalim, so they have their hands directly on the items that are going to get burned, and Moshe puts his hands underneath Aaron and his sons, because Moshe is the acting Kohen. So he puts his hands underneath. Vayikach Moshe osam me'al kapehem. Then Moshe took them from upon their palms. Vayakter hamizbech al ha'ola. Then he burned them on the mizbech, on top of the ola that was already burned. Miluim heim l'reach nichoach. They're in inauguration as a reach nichoach, as a sweet smell. Ishehu laHashem, a burnt offering to Hashem. That part is burned to Hashem. So it follows a general pattern like a regular shlamim. However, the shok hayamin, the back right leg, has been burned as well, which is unusual. Actually, it is the only time that ever happens, is with the miluim. And also, there are 30 loaves, of which 3 of them are burned. Vayikach Moshe sechazeh. Moshe takes the chest by itself. Vayinifeu snufa lifnei Hashem, and he waved it in front of Hashem. Me'el hamiluim, from the miluim ram, leMoshe hayalimana. This was a portion for Moshe. So Moshe gets a portion that is the chest. Kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe, as Hashem had commanded Moshe. So the one way that he acts like a Kohen in eating is he will eat this chazeh. He will eat the chest of the carbon.
That's there, quite big, no?
And there's no one else to eat it. And there's no one else. He's the only one who can eat it. That's it. So he gets this portion every day of the 7 days. He's required to eat this chazeh. That's Moshe's portion. But we haven't gotten to what Aaron and his sons have to eat. Vayikach Moshe mishemen ha-mishcha. Then Moshe again takes from the anointing oil, umin adam asher la-mizbeach, and from the blood that was already on the mizbeach. So now he takes some blood off of the mizbeach, and he takes some anointing oil. He combines them, vayaz al Aaron al begadav, and he sprinkles them on Aaron, on his clothing, ve'al banav, and on his sons, ve'al bigdei vanav ito, and on the clothing of his sons with him, ve'yikadesh es Aaron es begadav, and he sanctified Aaron and his clothing, ve'es banav, and his sons, ve'es bigdei vanav ito, and the clothing of his sons with him. Now, the anointing oil was already used on Aaron. It was put on his head. It was already used on Aaron. Now, this is different. It's different for several reasons. First of all, his sons are also going to get some of this as well. So it's clearly not the same thing as the regular anointing oil. Second thing is that he's using the blood of the carbon miluim too. And third, he's not pouring anything on them, he's sprinkling on them. What gets sprinkled on a person to purify a person?
The ashes of the red heifer.
So here we have something that is akin to that, where the blood of this miluim, that's why I said it's like a drum roll, this is really the main event, this carbon, the blood mixed with anointing oil, which means it's going to have some sort of anointing power, is now used to sprinkle on Aaron and his sons to sanctify them as Kohanim. Now what? Vayomer Moshe al Aaron ve'al bonav. Moshe said to Aaron and to his sons, Bashlu es habasar pesach ol moed, cook the meat at the entrance of the Mishkan, meaning the meat of the miluim carbon, the rest of it, not the part that was burned, not the part that Moshe ate, the rest of it. Visham tochlu oso, that's where you shall eat it. Ve'es halechem asher b'salam miluim, and also the remaining 27 loaves that was in the basket of the miluim. Kasher tzivesi lemor, like I commanded, saying, Aaron uvanav yochluhu, Aaron and his sons shall eat it. So they had to eat the balance of this animal, of this ram. Now, a ram is not a bull. It's not as big. It's still a lot of meat, but it's not quite as big. And also the 27 loaves. They had to eat this every single day. It's Aaron and four sons. So it's five people eating this meat and these loaves. I don't know how much there was, how much that was, but they had, they also had to do a significant amount of eating as well. What was left over of the meat and the, if anything got left over from the meat or from the loaves, ba'esh tisrofu, they should be burned in fire. That's the halach of no sar, of having something left over, they would have to be burned. And from the entrance of the Mishkan, you shall not go out for 7 days. You have to remain there. Ad yom elosi me miluichem, until the days of your inauguration are complete. Because for 7 days, your hands will be filled, which means you will be inaugurated. Kasher asa b'yom hazeh, like it was done on this day, tziva Hashem la'asos l'chaper aleichem, Hashem commanded to do, to atone for you, which means it should be done each of the 7 days. Like we did today, that's the way we should do it for the next 6 days as well. U'pesach o'al moed, teshvu yomam v'olayla shivas yomim, in the entrance of the o'al moed, you shall sit day and night for 7 days. U'shmartem es mishmeres Hashem v'lo samusu, you shall guard the guarding of Hashem, you shall not die. Ki chein suvesik, for that is what I was commanded. Vayas Aaron uvanav eis kol ha'devarim asher tziva Hashem b'yad Moshe, Aaron and his sons did everything that was commanded in the hands of Moshe. As our sages tell us, they did not change at all. They did exactly what they were told for those 7 days. Now we know on the 8th day there's going to be a deviation, which is going to be fatal. But for these 7 days, everything was done exactly as Moshe said to do it.
Did they put on new garments every day of the 7 days?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know.
Or did they wear bloody clothes?
I don't know. Good question.
Yes. Watching all this. I mean, were the elders around so they could see
everything? Everybody was there watching this.
But hundreds of thousands of people.
They didn't have to stay there for 7 days, the rest of the people. But the first day, they all saw what happened.
They could see.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Niluim.
Yes.
What else did that?
Yeah. So they use it. They use it in the state of Israel today. They use it to mean to the
reserve dirty. Oh, the reserve. Right. Ah. Right.
Okay. Limale means to fill or to fill up. That's what the word means. Now, I just want to make one comment before we close for today, which is that. You know, they had to eat this food, and you think it's a lot of food, and you think you think about, oh gosh, all that food. There are times when we have a mitzvah to eat. We have a mitzvah to eat on Shabbos. We have a mitzvah to eat on Yom Tov. Eating can be a mitzvah. It's important to remember that it's nice to have a mitzvah that's enjoyable, right? I always compare, right, eating a nice Shabbos meal is what I would call a fun mitzvah. Fasting on Yom Kippur, I would not call a fun mitzvah. So it's nice to have a mitzvah that's fun, that's enjoyable, that we naturally enjoy doing. It's nice. Hashem gives us a mitzvah that we enjoy doing. So, you know, it's not so hard to do it. But we have to bear in mind that we're doing it because Hashem said to do it. That means that even when a person doesn't feel like eating, it's still a mitzvah to eat. And the truth is, that's when you earn your stripes. Uh-huh. And it's to eat the chalent when you're hungry for chalent, it's the mitzvah. But it's hard to say that that's your ticket into Olam Haba. Like, it's a mitzvah. You get reward for it. But that's not the wave you're riding on. The wave you're riding on is when it's shalashudis in the winter, mm-hmm. and you're not hungry. And you have anyway, because you have to have shalashudis. Or it's malava malka during the summer, when you're not hungry, Shabbos just ended, and it's 11 o'clock at night, and you have it anyway. That's a mitzvah also, and that's when you really earn your mitzvah for eating. It bothers me a great deal. I think I mentioned this before. It bothers me a great deal when people complain about the meals on a 3-day yontif. When people start to complain towards the end of yontif, you know, another meal. It bothers me a great deal. It's a mitzvah. And it's a mitzvah in those cases to eat. And I always say to people, would you rather have a mitzvah to eat or a mitzvah to fast? Don't complain about a mitzvah to eat. It's a big thing. It's a very, very...
Complaining about eating or cooking?
That's different. I'm not talking about the cooking. I'm talking about the eating. don't eat the eating. So here, Aaron and his sons had to eat. That was part of the mitzvah. They were required, and Moshe, they were required to eat for these seventh, really for the 8 days, as we'll see in the 8th day. Yeah?
What I learned in Sarah in Cleveland is that the oil of Shema Mishkan on the head symbolizes the oil of responsibility. And that's why Devin Amalek said, Shema Rosh Al Yanima Roshi.
That
the oil that's on my head, I don't want to shake it off.
Very good. Very good. Excellent.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.